Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord every chance we have to share the word that the Lord reveals as he speaks to us from his heart. The Lord our God is looking at something. He sees greatness, great potential in those who have a heart of love, those who are willing to obey him. Willing obedience is like precious stones to God, but even greater. When he has a man that can take him at his word by his faith, he's willing and obedient, and he's dedicated like David. The Lord doesn't have to spell out every little detail for him to believe. They will have great patience like Job. Now, patience is something that's a little different from faith. Faith knows something. You know, it believes something about God. It's knowledge before sight. You believe, you take, faith takes God at his word. So in order for faith to exist, the Lord will have had to say something that you believe. But when you don't know what's going on, when you don't know the details of why things are going wrong all around you, and you still believe God, that's called patience. See, patience is a waiting faith. It's a form of faith, but it's not faith entirely. Or exactly. It's a little different. Now, faith has patience in it. Patience will wait it out in faith. There's an expectation there, but there's no assurance of the word of God. Job was patient. He believed in the relationship he had with God and the character of God that he knew. So when things went south, he didn't curse God to his face. And I asked the Lord about patience. He said patience is a waiting faith. And the only thing it's waiting on is the word of God. And when the Lord speaks, your patience turns into faith. See, we're following our God is real. Sometimes you're in faith about something, and you're believing God for a promise, and it doesn't look like it's working. It's taking time. All right. Daniel believed God for the answers, like we just covered. He saw the vision, but he wanted more details. He wanted to know the things. He wanted to have skill with it. He didn't have skill with the vision. The Lord showed him a tidbit, and he wanted the whole thing. He wanted all of it. He wanted to know all of it. And he had interpretations, but he wanted to know the details. So he went on a fast. He believed that God would show him. Now that's where he had faith. And he went on a fast until he ate no pleasant bread, no pleasant drink, till he got his answer. And he not only did he fast, he prayed. And he was consistent with it. He was willing to know it, and he was dedicated. And he did everything he knew to do, which made him to be obedient. He was obedient in finding out his answer. And that's what I call reaching forth. When you don't know what to do, reach forth and get God to tell you what's happening. Ask him the hard questions. God is great. You don't have to make it easy on him. Ask him your questions. And he'll things will go in motion just like it did for Daniel. And you'll end up knowing what happened. Some things take longer, some things don't take as long. Sometimes you just have to win a fight. Sometimes you have to be prepared to learn these things. But whatever the case, your case will be a unique, it will be unique, and you'll have to do whatever it is you have to do to learn those things. And the Lord is the one who said, ask and it shall, you know, it will be given you. Knock, said knock and it'll be open. Ask and you'll receive the answers. Persevere, reach forth, take what's yours. Seek and you'll find. Now he didn't have faith for the answer because he didn't have the answer. Now once it was revealed, he believed it. Now that's when his patience turned into faith. He was patient till the angel came. He was waiting on the answer. It's a waiting faith. He believed that God would reveal it to him based on the past. He trusted God in that area. But once the answer was revealed, then patience turned into faith. And once it happened, his faith would be finished. See, finished faith is the end result. The end result is what happens in Revelation. Once everything happens, that's when his faith will be fulfilled, which is knowledge. It'll be knowledge at that point. A lot of it is knowledge, because a lot of the things Daniel prophesied came to pass already. But when all of it come to pass, then all of it will become knowledge. All of his faith will be, it'll be past knowledge. It'll be something that we can look back to. But while we're looking forward to it, it's still faith. Most of the things in Revelation hadn't happened yet. We expect it by our faith, because that's what we believe, because that's what the Lord revealed, because he always kept his word, you know, according to that he had the prophets preach. But when you don't know what's happening and the Lord hadn't given you a word to believe, and you're still expecting the answer, that's patience. Now the Lord gave me this analogy. I was helping in we have a youth room above the fellowship hall at church. And they fixed up a nice room for the youth to have a band and they go there on Wednesday night and have church. And I was helping the electricians string the wire. They were running wire throughout the whole thing to do the lights. I'm not an electrician, I'm a mechanic, but they told me what to do and I did it. Now, I know about electricity. In cars, we deal with DC. Buildings are AC, and it's a little different, but much of it is the same. And the rules are different with AC and DC. So I was able to help them string the wire, and I know about circuits. And the Lord gave me an analogy. In this circuit, he said, your heart is like the battery. The word of God charges it, and it has power. When you speak, your tongue is the on switch, and the wire from that switch to the motor or the light, that is peace. Peace is the power wire, and then it hooks to the motor. And that's the works, because faith without works is dead. And then the ground wire, that's patience. And he said, your tongue is the on switch. Your peace is the power wire. The motor is your works. And your patience is the ground wire. And you have a complete circuit. And then he said, your doubt is the off switch. So your doubt is, it turns it off. Now, many times we're believing God, we're taking him at his word, and just like in the garden, the snake came in with an alternative. You're believing God, And he'll plant seeds of doubt to turn your faith off. But just like faith, you have to agree with it. You have to believe it. And it'll turn you, if you believe a doubtful position or a doubtful thought in your heart, it turns your faith off. Now, you can have doubt in your mind, as long as you don't have doubt in your heart, it can't turn your faith off. I'm going to give an example of it. The rules are in Mark 11, 19 through 25. Jesus, that's when he, after his disciples saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, they asked him about it. Lord, the tree you cursed is dried up from the roots. And he said, have faith in God. And then he said, he talked about how when you believe him, when you believe and doubt not in your heart, you can say with your mouth to a mountain to be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. And he said, he was saying, when you believe and speak without doubt, you will have what you say. And he ended with something else that's very important, because faith works by love. He said, when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, so your Father will forgive you, because we do things that we shouldn't. Even doubt is bad. God, he'll forgive you, and you'll have whatever it is you said. Now, there are areas of uncertainty. And to see, we're in a warfare. All the gifts and graces that we attain and enjoy, the enemy tries to stop it because we make him look bad. He doesn't want to look bad before heaven and before men. He don't want us to shame him, because he wants to be the best looking creature that ever was. He wants to be the smartest guy in the room. So he uses uncertainty to create doubt in us. So he'll say, well, the word may have said that by Jesus' stripes you're healed, but cold religion will say that didn't mean physical healing. That meant spiritual healing. He's throwing a wrench of doubt in the works. And people teach this as truth. But you don't need spiritual healing for your body. You need your body healed. Without the body, you can't do the works of God. You have no authority in the earth once your body stops working. You'll go to heaven or hell. And you have no more authority here. Dead people don't pray for people. But God can honor the prayers that they prayed while they were alive. You need your body to be here. That's why I like to take care of it. I believe in eating right. More than that, love people. Your body, when you're not under stress, is a killer. A lot of people try to make their bodies well by eating right and exercise. Some people go do all that, but they don't do anything about their stress and their anger and their bitterness. Those things work against you. Anyway, it's important to take care of. That's why I don't eat plastic, which is fried food, because it turns the plastic in your arteries. I eat very little. I don't eat fried food that often. It's hard to just stop eating, because everywhere you go, they got it. And if you have to eat somewhere, that's usually what you're gonna find. But I'd rather eat grilled if I'm gonna eat meat. But fried is just a bad idea. That's plastic. That grease turned to plastic in your arteries. Beside the point, the enemy tried to get people to doubt somewhere. Anywhere you have uncertainty, that's why it's so important to flood your heart with the Word of God. And remember, the Word of God comes to you, it's like a charge. And the enemy tries to discharge it. See, if he can discharge your heart, you won't have faith for what you're believing for. Even if you once had faith, you have to have faith and no doubt in order for it to work right. Even if you have faith and no doubt, some things are a process, just like with Daniel believing God for the answer. Now, he believed that he had the answer when he believed. That part was faith. But when the answer came, until it came, he couldn't believe what the Lord said until the Lord revealed it. Once it came, his patience turned into faith. And in the whole while, he was at peace. Always follow the peace. You can relate to God by your peace. And remember, peace is fellowship. Your peace, the peace you enjoy, that's fellowship with God that you feel. So it's safe to follow the peace, even when you don't know. So your peace is a clue. Sometimes your peace is a clue that the Holy Spirit uses to guide you. It's a clue. It can be used as a clue. It's fellowship. You know, every time you think of certain things, you have a peace about it. When I wanted to marry Alicia, I had a peace from the inside. It was detectable. God loves us. And he cares about every part of our lives. And he guides us with peace. And then he told me things about her. And the peace increased. And then I found it to be true. Because it turned into faith. I believe what the Lord said. Once I believed what he said, it was faith. So it is always. God loves us. As we endeavor to believe God, as we, in the process, sometimes things have to be made. Sometimes situations have to be put in motion by angels and also by men for your faith to be finished. You know, works have to happen as well. Sometimes on your part, sometimes on the part of others. Whatever you're believing God for, it depends on what it is. The process has to be finished in order for the faith to become finished. It's not that God is saying no. There are things that's happening you can't see as long as your faith is on. But if you doubt, the whole process is on hold. And you don't want to put something in motion and then stop the process. That doesn't make sense. So when the Lord gives you something to do, you have to believe in it from the beginning till it's complete. And once it's complete, he can reward you. And there are steps along the way. There are successions, plateaus that you'll walk across and finish, and then you'll go to the next. And you'll be rewarded every time you finish something. You have money in your spiritual account that can be used to help you do the next step. And the next step, until all the steps are spent and your life is done. You can leave a legacy of faith from glory to glory. But your patience and your peace, it keeps the process alive. Your love is why it works. And your heart must be charged with the word of God for you to continue to have faith. See, when you can believe, you can read the word, you can even remember the word and believe it. But when the challenges come, it takes the charge of the word. You know, Pastor McCann said it's like a balloon. You have to have more pressure inside the balloon to overcome the pressure of the atmosphere. And air has weight. The higher you go, the less weight of the air you'll feel. In other words, an inflated football is heavier than a deflated football. But you have to have a fine scale to know it. But you have to have more pressure on the inside than on the outside. So it is with the heart. It has to be filled with the word of God. Many times I read the same scriptures, listen to the same tapes or CDs, you know, the word of God. I listen to the same chapters to fill my heart with the word of God. And then when I minister, That's what the Lord uses. And I go back and read it some more. Why? Some of it I can quote. That's not why I read it more over and over again. I read it so that I can, so that my heart will be charged with the Word of God. And that way there's more pressure on the inside than the challenges on the outside. And I can stand. I can continue. And this is the way we win wars. This is the way we win spiritual wars. We speak the Word of God and it works. We take the Lord at His word. We're patient. We're at peace. And it works. Easy. That's the easy way to do it. But the hard way is to give up, give in, give out. Because then you can't grow. You're not growing. You're not putting things in motion. You know, a reaching forth is required. Sometimes you just have to bulldoze your way through it till everything is done. But the Holy Spirit is helping you. He once said, what you push, I push. What you pull, I pull. It all starts with you. Heaven reacts to us. It's not like our healing is up to God. Our welfare is up to God. Our finances is up to God. No. Even the outcome of our children, how they turn out, it's not up to God. We put that in motion. Parents, whatever we decide to do, good and bad, that's what we give God to work with. So the faster we get out of sin, the better off we're going to be. And the more we walk in love, that's how we create a legacy of children. If you walk in peace and in faith, you'll find your children doing even greater things. It's going to be so easy for them to walk in peace and in faith. If you take God at His word, your children will do the same thing. It'll be so easy for them. Now the enemy is going to try to stop them, but if he couldn't stop you, he probably can't. It's going to be real hard for him to stop them. But if your faith, if you always collapse in your faith, you're going to see it in your children. But if you continue, then you'll see it in them. We need the Lord. We need all that He's saying to us. We need His knowledge. We need His understanding. And when you have a heart, a determined heart to be in faith, to be willing and obedient to the Lord, to do His will, your children are going to have a hunger to do the same thing. You're going to see it. Even if they stray and come back, they're going to come back and they're going to do what you do. The enemy is going to try to challenge them just like he tried to challenge you. And I knew this as I was raising my older children. I knew that they would have all the challenges I had. So I gave them the insight I could give them in the Word of God. I taught them as the Lord led me, I would teach them. And, you know, me and their mother was divorced. So I would get them on the weekend and teach them. And every Saturday morning, we just have our Bible talk. We had a good time. I intended it to last 30 minutes, maybe 40. We might talk for 3 hours and they'll ask questions and we just had a Holy Ghost time and they can remember it. And the Lord would tell me what to start and they'd ask questions and it just turn into something. We had a good time. And then they go to church and the pastor be saying what I taught. You know, whatever I was teaching them, they tag it. They come right back. You know, Pastor McCann would, you know, the Lord use him to confirm it, or Little Jim or other pastors, and somebody would say things we talked about and they just look at each other. That is a blessing. And then I saw him get healed of things. My daughter Shana, her mayor said, let's just pray after Sunday school. She said, let's pray about something. And she prayed for her eye. And I didn't even realize, but her eye was red that day. And we was in the sanctuary, and she said, I said, Shane, your eyes raised. She said, I know, I prayed about it. It's gonna clear up. And after the praise and worship, pastor said, anybody got a problem with your eyes? I said, go up there and let him pray for it. She said, I don't have to. It's here. I prayed for it. And I looked at her again. It was clear. Now, things like that are priceless. You know, things like that. That was a priceless moment. And I thank God for it. Well, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to move in your life and help you carry on, help you do all that's in his heart. We are more than conquerors. We can do all things through Christ. And I thank God for it. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you, and Jesus truly is our Lord.